Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is Reformation Sunday, as we celebrate this day every year. When we think about this, I have to think, when Martin Luther brought about this movement, the greatest change, the most fantastical transformation that the church had seen in over 500 years, where did that change come from? Did it start from the Pope, from the folks at the top? No. Did it start from palaces or from high places of power and authority? No. It came from this lowly monk, this person who was a bit invisible, a nobody really at the time. It came from the sidelines, from this voice off in the margins. It came from this voice that persistently and insistently asked challenging questions of the church, a voice that constantly challenged the status quo, a voice that had rediscovered a holy truth about God and could not stop proclaiming God's mercy and grace. Yet a voice that was routinely and emphatically told to be quiet. Yet he refused to be silenced. The more Luther was told to cease, the more he cried out the truth of God's grace. And then from this small voice on the margin, from this lowly monk, came a renewed clarity of what it meant to be a Christian, to follow in the way of Jesus. There was this rediscovery of the truth of the gospel that the masses of the time just were not seeing. And this became the catalyst, of course, for one of the biggest paradigm shifts in the church and in the world itself, the biggest shifts the world had ever seen. Luther refused to settle for how things were if those things were not in alignment with Jesus Christ. And thanks to Luther's refusal to blindly accept the theological and ecclesiological norms of his day, we today get to now know and celebrate the centrality of grace and of faith. And we know that we are saved by a loving God of grace and mercy, and all we can do is believe it and rejoice. This is often the way of it, how things work, where a voice from the margins has a word from the Lord and is called to speak that truth to the big, large establishment in the middle. We see it throughout Scripture. We saw it in the prophets as God called people to come and speak a word of God's grace and mercy and truth to those in power. We saw it in the life of Martin Luther, and we see it in our gospel story today. This man, Bartimaeus. This is a great Reformation text, I think. You see, in Bartimaeus, we see not only this voice from the side of the road, this voice from the margins speaking a truth about Jesus, but we also get to see how Jesus responds to this voice when it calls out. And if we're serious about our lives following in the way of Jesus, and I hope that we are, then Jesus gives us an incredible model today that we can follow as well. So as we dive into this gospel text, I want to take a moment to envision the scene together in our minds, to paint this picture so we can really see it. We've got Jesus surrounded by this incredible throng of people, buzzing with excitement and enthusiasm. They're celebrating his teaching, the miracles, the presence of something truly holy and amazing that they see in this person, Jesus. And they're beginning their march together as this large group from Jericho down to Jerusalem, where something is going to happen. They have a mission. They have a purpose. They're filled with energy and excitement about this whole thing. And as they begin this march from Jericho to Jerusalem, sitting on the side of the road just at the edge of town is this person, sitting there kind of in the ditch, this poor, dirty beggar, helpless, lonely, a blind man. And the stigma that is attached to him, it ran deep in that day. I think for us, poverty and physicality always can be a little bit disconcerting when we're confronted face to face with them. But in the ancient world, in this context especially, blindness was no small matter. Theologically, some people thought maybe this was a punishment from God. They went there with their thinking. For others, it could be thought of as a sickness, because people could get a disease or an infection that could cause them to lose their sight, and you were afraid that you might catch the same thing. So people really didn't want to touch them. They wanted to avoid them at all costs. So you can kind of see what's happening here in this moment. But the first thing I want us to see about Bartimaeus is his name, Bartimaeus. It's a fun name to say. Say it with me. Bartimaeus. Oh, you did it. Good job. He's not just a beggar. He's a man with a name, a person, an individual who has his own identity. And this really jumps out to me in this gospel reading today, and I think it's something we should pay attention to, that we have a name, because Matthew and Luke tell the same story, but just with different focus, but they don't give us his name. They just call him a blind beggar. They omit his name. But Mark's gospel dignifies this man with a name, Bartimaeus. You are a person with an identity and value. And that's important for us to see. And then Bartimaeus, this man we now know, he learns that Jesus is coming by. As he's sitting on the roadside begging, he hears that this is Jesus of Nazareth. So he shouts out at the top of his lungs, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And like we do, we human beings, this group had places to go. They had a mission. They didn't have time for this, plus all the stigma attached. So they told him to be quiet, to knock it off, to let them pass and stop bothering them. But he cries out all the louder, refusing to be silenced, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Now here's the thing about that phrase that he says, "Son of David." This is a very specific title. This is a reference to a specific prophecy about God's coming king, the Messiah. But here's the thing. In Mark's gospel, no one else uses this language except for Bartimaeus up to this point. He is the first person, the only person to notice this about Jesus. This blind man then, Bartimaeus, he sees a truth about who Jesus is that this whole crowd had missed. No one had used this title in reference to Jesus yet. It's only the blind man who could see it, what was really happening. This voice from the margins, it seems, has something very important to teach them. And then what do the crowd shout as they get to Jerusalem and enter? They shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David." It catches on because of Bartimaeus. But his voice, it disrupts the movement. It slows things down. It gets in the way of their planned agenda and where they were going, and yet it's so important. And so what we see in this story here is Jesus shows us how he responds to this sort of disruption, this voice that calls out. I love this. He stops. It says Jesus stood still. If anyone had an excuse to keep on going because they had a reason to, it was Jesus. But he stops, he stands still, and he listens to this voice, this one crying out for help. And he invites him then into the conversation, into the center. He doesn't just kind of sneak off quietly. He actually pulls Bartimaeus in and gives him a prominent place, a name, a real person, not a group or a label or a problem, but a person with value and dignity. It's a valuable lesson Jesus gives us today. And then he asks. He asks him. I love this. Jesus doesn't just assume that he knows what this person needs, although he is the Son of God, so it's probably safe to bet that he does actually know what Bartimaeus needs. But I think for our sake and for Bartimaeus' sake, he honors him and respects him with a question and says, "What do you want? What do you need me to do for you?" Of course, then we see what happens. Jesus cures his blindness. The man does what he has faith, and he follows Jesus along the way. As we read this story, maybe some of us have at times felt like Bartimaeus. Maybe sometimes we feel like that voice who's calling out but no one listens. Maybe we've felt ourselves to be invisible or silenced. Maybe because of our gender or our age or our ethnicity or whatever it might be. But in this text, I hope you hear that you have a voice, value, that Jesus hears and listens, and the church needs you, your voice, all of our voices. What does it mean then to follow in the way of Jesus, in this way of grace and mercy? Well, we see in this text that Jesus values everyone, everyone. And maybe for some of us this is a bit challenging and convicting because it means stopping and hearing those voices that maybe sometimes we don't want to listen to, allowing our plans to be disrupted so we can hear the truth that God might be trying to teach us from unexpected places. It means valuing all of the voices of God's children. It means that we never stop seeking and growing and listening and learning. To follow in the way of Jesus, to follow in our heritage, in the heritage of Martin Luther, is to never stop seeking the truth, to never cease growing and seeking and developing our spiritual lives. To be a Christian, and especially to be a Lutheran, is to always be reforming our hearts and our minds and our lives, and thus our faith community, our life together, that our church might conform our lives more and more to the way of Jesus. I don't know if you've heard some of these things, but once in a while I hear these jokes about Lutherans, and they usually involve something about the word change in them. Like when I first became a Lutheran, I heard someone say, "How many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb?" And I started to count, and they said, "Change!" like that, and that was the punchline. And we chuckle and we laugh, and it's kind of funny, but at the same time, it kind of makes me a little bit sad. I'm a Lutheran because of change, because of Luther's burning passion to change and reform the church when it starts to go astray, so that we continue to deconstruct the church of us that we create in our image and continually reform and transform it into the church of Jesus Christ made in God's image. A church where the voices of the world, that the world and our culture might silence and marginalize, are drawn into the center and given value and dignity. A church where the stagnancy and illusions of having spiritually arrived are crushed, so that the reality of lifelong growth and the life of following in the way of Jesus can become the norm. So why is it important that we do this every year, celebrate Reformation and lift this up over and over again? Because it's something we must remember. We must study it every year because we're a forgetful people. How easy it is to forget who we really are. Sometimes we chase down the idolatry of comfort, but friends, Luther did not wrap up the reforming 500 years ago and close the book on it. He passed that torch to us, to you and me. It's up to us to not let this fire go out that God planted in the heart of this monk all those years ago. So friends, we refuse to settle. We can refuse to do this. We continue to examine our hearts, to ask hard questions about ourselves so that we will grow, to ask questions about our church so we'll continue growing, reforming, and seeking what it means to follow in the way of Jesus for our time, for our children, for our grandchildren. So may you live into your sacred calling, that you, following in the way of Jesus, will remember your heritage and remember who you are. We are the Reformers. Amen.